Glory to God. Good to see everyone. Weren't there more people here Monday? Maybe it's the food. Taste and see. The Lord's good. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Glad to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday. I remember my pastor saying 40-some years ago that every service needs to be a great celebration.
Right.
That somehow we treat Wednesday nights different than Sunday mornings. It sends a clear sound to people that it's not important to be here. Reduce our worship, our songs. If the preaching is just a little 15-minute dissertation, then people get the idea that it's not important anymore. Glory to God. And so I'm glad you feel it's important enough to be here tonight, and God certainly will bless you because of it. Several people have, after Sunday morning, asked me to sing another solo. And I've had recording companies call me. But I don't want to change, you know. I just want to be a simple guy. Our first song tonight was, "And All Because of Jesus I'm Alive," which is a confirmation of what I'm preaching. Amen. So if you'll turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 10. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands." Everything that you see is the work of God. And then if you go to Psalms, Psalms chapter 102. And verse number 25. "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands." Whose hands? You go to Colossians, the first chapter, it says that everything that was made visible and invisible was made by Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Allow it to be alive in our life, O God. Blessed, anointed, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, this scripture was read tonight, John 1 and 4. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." I know that the most effective preaching is taking a principle of God's word and explaining how that is applied to our life. Jesus was the master of teaching. He taught in parables about just basic things in life and how they related to the things of God. There was nothing complicated about it at all, but he showed us that he is the life. He's the one who orders our steps. If you'll go to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." We could spend a half an hour just talking about this, because what God is saying is there's darkness in this world, and God wants to bring light to it. "And the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for me. And God said, let there be light, illumination, and there was light. Now all of a sudden we see things that we have never seen before. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That means we have to come out of the darkness in order to be a part of the light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And then if you drop down to verse number 12, it says, and the earth brought forth grass and herbs, yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse number 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moved, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. You'll notice that in these scriptures on creation that God repeated himself concerning all living creatures as he created them, that they are to produce after their own kind, not evolved from a million years of something that had not existed from the very beginning. There isn't anything new on the face of the earth that God has not created. Your great-great-great-great-great-grandmother was not orangutan. You know why the evolutionists want to believe that is because then they don't have to submit to the Word of God. Amen. God created us with a seed within itself to produce after our kind. Now that is true with all living creatures, but it is also true in the spirit. Apple trees produce apples, orange trees produce oranges. It's God's law that we produce after our own. Now, if I don't have truth, how can I produce something that has truth, you see? Glory to God. If you'll turn to Matthew, please, chapter 7, starting in verse number 15, Jesus says this, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Just looking at a tree, you can't really tell just by the leaves of the tree, but the fruit of the tree, we should be identified based on the fruits of the Spirit within us. I remember sitting in a barber shop once, and there was a man with one of those collars signifying that he was a minister or a priest, and the foul language that came out of his mouth. And I thought, you know what? You're displaying who you are. We all display who we really are. If you'll go to Romans, the 6th chapter, in verse number 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Amen. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. That is so true. I wonder how many people even think about God. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Unto holiness. We just want to be holy because he's holy. That's part of it. So whatever we are born of, that is what we naturally produce. This explains why after we are born again of the water and the Spirit, that suddenly we want to produce after our own kind, or we want to make other people like us, or at least have the same experience that we have. We want to produce spiritual offspring. Whereas we, just the week before, didn't want anything to do with God or church. We were sowing to the flesh and reaping the same. But now we have a new seed within us that must produce after its own kind, a holy fruit. We want to produce after our own kind. We had to be born again in order to produce what God wanted, and that's why those without the whole truth can't produce saved people. Amen. You don't see people in denominational churches, some of them saved and some of them aren't saved. You have to have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Now, you will notice that when God created something, he never spoke to what he created, but rather spoke to the thing it came out of. God didn't say, let there be fish, but he said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. God never said, let there be grass and trees. God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the tree yielding fruit. So he spoke to the source of what was going to be produced. God always speaks to the source of life. And when God then made man, he didn't break precedent. He spoke to himself because he is the source of all spiritual life. Like Colossians 1 and 17 says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. And so it is he that allows us to be who we are. Without him, you can read the Bible, you can do spiritual things, I suppose, but never, ever really produce. Genesis 1 and 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God spoke to the source of man, which was himself. Let us, what he's speaking to himself, I want to make man. And that's the only source there is, because he's the creator. He's the source of our spiritual existence. Now, most of us have gone fishing, and after we catch a fish, we took the fish out of the water and put it in the boat or on the pier, and after just a few minutes out of the water, the fish dies. Flops a little bit, maybe a little life for a while, and that perfectly healthy fish is dead because you took it out of its source of life, the water. When you take a tree out of the ground, it's out of the source of its life. It won't be long, and it too will wither up and die. The principle of God here is this: That which is alive can only stay alive if it has a continued relationship with the source of life. I wish I could make this more complicated. You don't understand if we don't continue to be with the source of life. If you think, well, I really can do this thing on my own, I don't have to be in church anymore, you're going to wither up and you're going to die. You'll flop around for a while. You even raise your hands and clap your hands for a while. But when you're out of the source of life, the relationship with God, all of a sudden, you don't go so well. Paul said it this way in Acts, the 17th chapter, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. If the world only knew that God wasn't far from anyone. And then it says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have, or poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Jesus is our source of life, and in him we live and move and we have our being, or our existence. Without him, we don't have our existence. Years ago, I preached a message, 6 days without Jesus. You know, 12 years old, he was in the temple. Mom and dad left, didn't even realize he wasn't there. We can get to the place where we leave on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning and we don't even talk to him or have a relationship, and we don't realize that he's not in our life. I remember the first house that we bought, the front yard needed a complete restoration, redone, and so I had black ground brought in, and we spread it all over, and then we brought in sod, and it all looked so good. I remember my wife and I just working an entire Saturday, laying down the sod until some of it turned brown about 3 or 4 days later. And it wasn't because of the lack of water, because we watered it as much as we possibly could, but some of the grass didn't have good contact with the soil, and so it died. It's so easy to separate ourselves from the source of life. We must constantly be pressing in on God to keep our source of life near us. James 4 and 8 says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. It's such a simple concept. If you want more of God, just press in a little bit. You know? Hallelujah. Four brothers. One's a paraplegic. They tried to get into the house where Jesus was, and they couldn't. Now, we'll try again some other time. No. They tore off the roof. Amen. Draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. How badly do you want it? I remember many years ago, before I ever pastored, there was a man, his name was Jerry, and Jerry had been trying to get the Holy Ghost for, oh, I don't know, a long, long time. And I said, Jerry, this was a Sunday night. I said, Jerry, you fast and I will fast. And Wednesday when you come, you believe that God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. In your mind, you're not leaving the church until you get the Holy Ghost. Well, it's so simple. When you get to that place, when you're so desperate for God and you believe that God's going to do something for you, I don't know if there's somebody here tonight that is so desperate that they want something from God. You have to walk into his kingdom before he walks into yours. If you'll go to Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to God, for he will abundantly pardon. Every service is an opportunity for God to restore people. Amen. I believe with all my heart that God wants to restore some backsliders. I really do. I believe that we're at a point now where God is coming so soon that he's reaching out to those that used to be a part of the source of life, and he wants to reconnect them. I tell most people that I baptize in Jesus' name, there's one very important factor. You have to be faithful to the church in order to survive. I know there are a lot of people, I've literally baptized thousands of people over the years, and I know there have been a lot of them saying, well, that's done, including some of my own relatives, thinking that's all they had to do. But they separated themselves from the source of life. You see, we were born of the water, and our source of life is the church. Take us out of the church, and it won't be long until we die spiritually. Years ago, I remember doing a demonstration, had three or four guys, I won't do it tonight, three or four guys standing in front of the church, and we all intertwined legs. And it represented us binding together that none of us are lost because we're holding together. That's what the church does. It's a support group for those of us that want to live for God, you know? Hallelujah. If the drug addict can have support groups and the alcoholics, why can't we have a support group? And God even insists that we gather ourselves together all the more as we see the day approaching. Amen. Frankly, I can't understand how there are some churches that decide that Sunday morning's enough. Because you can't stay close to the source of life with just an occasional visitation of God. And the fact of the matter is, when you take that stand, well, it's not going to be easy for you to stay close. Amen. When God produced the New Testament believer, he spoke to the church to bring forth life. So if you go to Mark 16, very familiar scripture, starting in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, what he's saying is, okay, I've been the creator, now you become the creator. You have to speak to. Amen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so what God is giving us, the power and the signs in order to see new life. There are some versions of the Bible that eliminate these scriptures altogether. Because these are the signs of the true believer. The enemy of our soul wants to separate us from the body of life. You have to understand that anything that the enemy of your soul can do is to somehow create an offense within the body of believers. I can't go back there again. Create a situation where some preaching bothers them, and I'll go look for something easier. So when they're separated from the body of Christ, there cannot be life any longer. Because he knows that we can't survive outside the church, take us out of the church services, and we naturally start to wither up and die. Amen. I'm preaching to the choir. Is the choir here? Because you recognize the value of being here. Amen. And the power that is in staying close to the source of our strength. Amen. I'm so grateful for live broadcasts and grateful for YouTube and all of that. But it's not the same, folks. It's just not the same. Conversely, that is why God told the church in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You see, if we are separated from the old life source, then the old seed which reaped to the flesh will die. It's the same concept. Come out. Now you don't have any more life in that old way, that old living, that old life that you once were so fond of, because it is cut from its source. You know, we're not going to go live in a monastery someplace because we're all saved, because we need to be able to bring life to other people. But if you think you can bring life to other people and still be a part of the old life, it just doesn't work. Genesis 2 and 23 said it, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Why? Because she was taken out of man. You see, the source of life for the woman was the man. Amen. It's Christ, the second Adam, that is the source of us, the church, the Eve, if you will. So if the man is the source of the woman because she was taken out of man, then God's formula is the same as the fish that's taken out of the water, the tree out of the soil, the believer out of the church, and a saint away from God. And in all of those situations, if you're separated from the source, there's a withering and dying. The marriage can't survive. The spiritual marriage between God and us will not survive. My wife and I talk every once in a while. No. My God and me, we have to communicate. Without the communication, without the source, if on Sunday mornings you're looking for your Bible, can't remember where you put it from last Sunday. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh." There's a God that wants to cleave unto us. You see, the marriage is the vivid illustration to the world of the relationship that we have with God, like we talked about Sunday, is all a vivid illustration of what God wants. God is the source of the bride of Christ, and if we withdraw from our source, we aren't the one that's married any longer. Don't ever try a trial separation from God. I'm just going to take a break. Amen. I've been ministering too long. I think I'll just take a break. We, the one he married, have lost our source. And when we lose our source, we lose healing and comfort and position and peace and joy and eventually salvation. It's God's law. For in him, we live and move and have our being or have our existence. Without him, you know, we can gather together. We can be a church in name. We can even sing the same songs. But if we're separated, and the Spirit of God draws us, it says, come. Amen. Church, don't let anything or anybody separate you from your source of life. I don't want to become like a fish out of water, you know, gasping for another spiritual breath because I somehow separated myself. And there's all kinds of reasons for, well, who was it? There's some, one of our saints used to say, I'm not going to lay out a church. You know, that's old Pentecost. We're laying out tonight. We're not going to do this. And eventually, you can get used to laying out a church. You can get to the place where, you know, it's not so important anymore. Amen. But thank God, every time we come to church, there's a refreshing, there's a revival, there's an excitement. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You never know what's going to happen in every church service. There are people who are healed on Wednesday nights. There are people who are filled with the Holy Ghost on Wednesday night. Glory to God, glory to God. In the 70s, when we came into the church, I'll tell you what, if one or two people got the Holy Ghost in a month, that was an incredible thing. And what we would do was, can't wait until camp, because we'll get the camp and we'll get the Holy Ghost. Amen. We just didn't realize how much God wanted to fill people with the Holy Ghost. But in their own mind, they thought, I know it won't work here. It has to work there. It can't work on a Wednesday. It only can happen on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he'll do it when you're ready, not when he's ready. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? I've been harping on this subject for a long, long time. And I know sometimes it makes people feel bad. But I want to see people make it all the way. Not less of God, but more of God. Amen. I've never worried about people who are teaching Bible studies to backslide. I've never worried about people who are in ministries backsliding. But those who have said, you know what, I've done too much, I've done enough, I worry about that. I really do. Because we need to be running faster at the end of our walk with God than at the beginning. Amen. 10 virgins, only 5 of them made it, folks. We're talking about the church. We're not talking about denominal, you know? So, the altar's open. Would you come?